What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African-Americans who have seen success within the sport. We'll also bring you news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, MLS, and WSL, as well as informing you on other top European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, just want to say thank you. Thank you for all of your continued success from all of our friends and supporters. My name's Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Gabriel, fresh off a back-to-back win this weekend. How you feeling?
Feel good, man. Locked in the number one spot for playoffs in 2 weeks. So everything's good. How you feeling, Solon?
Good, man. Congrats to you. Warm weather out here. I can't complain. How about you, Cornelius?
It's good, man. Good. Just finally catching up and recovering from the birthday weekend. But thank you again for all of the love and all of the shout outs that everyone gave me over the past weekend. It was a good one. 30, officially a new entering a new decade. So, you know, hopefully it's as good and as better as the last. We got a lot of things to look forward to, especially in this 2025. Looking all right so far. So just want to get into football, man. So international break officially ended. There were not any Premier League matches, so we'll get into that a little bit later. We'll have some midweek predictions at the end of the episode a little bit later. But I did want to bring something up. I know we didn't talk about this before, but was looking at the Serie A table and the top two teams right now, Inter with 67 points with a plus 39 goal differential, Napoli with 64 points with a plus 33 goal differential. Both of those teams are sitting right at 30 matches. Right now, 8 matches left for both of those teams. If y'all had to go ahead and make a prediction on who you think would take the Serie A cup this year, Campeones, who you got? Inter, Napoli, based off
Inter.
Where the table's at right now. Gabriel's got Inter. So how you feel?
Quick.
I'm gonna side with Napoli. I'm gonna go with Napoli. I think Napoli, first off, I think you have to give credit to Antonio Conte and the work that he's done. I think recruitment for the most part has been spot on. Lukaku's firing. Lukaku actually just hit his 400th goal.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, Lukaku just hit his 400th goal for another country. You know, I think he's certainly a striker that I feel like is, I would almost say, underrated in this generation. I think he, you know, was also just playing at a time where there was a lot of prominent strikers. He was in the same era as, you know, Lewandowski, Harry Kane. I mean, even early on, I think with Luis Suarez was in that mix, like when they were both at the prem at the same time. But I think, you know, in spite of all his limitations, as people say, people talk about his touch, he's a goal scorer, man. And he's done that everywhere he's been. Really, England, club, country, he's done it. So shout out to him, shout out to them. And I think ultimately Inter have the experience, but you know, I think Napoli's certainly playing with house money right now.
Yeah, I just I don't know. For me, Napoli is just, my issue with them is that they don't score enough. I know, you know, Lukaku, congrats to 400 goals. Conte, like you said, amazing job of what he's done there, especially with some of the outgoings that he's had and things of that sort. But if I'm being completely honest, I'm looking at, you know, you look at the top three. You look at Inter, you look at Atalanta, or Inter, you look at Napoli, you look at Atalanta. Napoli's sitting on 47 goals through 30 matches. To me, that's just not enough. It's not enough. We talk about goal differential so much, right? And, I mean, like I said, if you look at the table, sorry, I'm just going back to the table real quick. I mean, yes, Atalanta is 6 points off the top, 100%. But their goal differential is plus 34. So if Napoli slip up in any type of way and Atalanta get on a little run, they have the advantage just solely off of goal differential. And that's why I don't think that, you know, they can catch Inter, because that goal differential is just – it's just too much for me, you know. So that's the only reason, you know, I have Inter right now. If I'm being honest, I like Conte. I like what he does with squads. But Inter has it for me right now, just based on the sole fact that they can score. And not only can they score defensively, they're pretty sound. They only have four. They've only conceded four more goals than Napoli to this current point, but have about 15 more goals than them. So.
Yeah,
I think I got Inter for this one.
I like what both of y'all said, honestly, but I think I'm going to have to side with Napoli just very, very slightly. Just based on the fact that Inter has a lot more games to play. These guys are still in Champions League. They're running up against Bayern Munich. I mean, you know, eventually these legs are going to get kind of tired here. And so Napoli is playing one game a week through the rest of the year. Inter has a little bit more to worry about. You know, assuming everyone just stays healthy, they don't have to see each other anymore. So that's one good thing that's going for Inter, you know, because I feel like if they had to see Napoli in these last couple of months, they could probably get caught slipping just because of what I said. You know, Inter is going to have a little bit more tired legs, but this is going to be fun to watch for these last couple of months. Just wanted to get y'all pick y'all brain on that. And then the same thing over in La Liga, man. Barcelona right now with 66 points, 56 positive goal differential. Real Madrid with 63 points, positive 33 goal differential there. who do y'all have, you know, going through and winning La Liga this year?
You know, man, I would say Real Madrid. I would say between Real Madrid and Barca. Typically, I would say Real Madrid, but I don't know, man. Like, I feel like it's really hard not to root for Barca, especially with Yamal playing the way he is. Like, I mean, you know, I know we talked about the Ballon d'Or 2 weeks ago, and I know, he's a candidate himself, but I guess his teammate is one of the favorites right now. And I'm like, bro, Rafinha could win the Ballon d'Or, but he's not the best player. You're the best player. And I just, for the sake of debate, I'm going to side with Barcelona. I think that they're in a good run of form. I think that they have the best player in the league. Obviously, we know what is over there in Madrid, who is over there. But I mean, this is a team that I feel like kind of had no expectation really going into this season. Yes, their club in terms of name, like they carry a big stature, but I mean, this team was in the mud last year. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't even register people. We didn't even know like who's going to play for this team. And they've been able to piece this team together, and it's like
this year too.
Yeah, they've been able to piece this team together, and look at them in La Liga in the table and in Champions League. So it's hard not to root for them, especially with Yamal there. So I'm going to side with Barcelona.
Yeah, I got Barca solely off the same thing I just said. We're speaking about Serie A. Barca has, I believe, close to over 20 goals over Madrid right now. And yeah, exactly 20 goals. Barca sitting on 82 goals for Madrid, sitting on 62, plus 20 goal differential, up 3 points. I'm sorry. We talk about all the time, goal differential is such a huge thing, especially when you're fighting and clawing to get back. And I just don't see Barcelona slowing down anytime soon. I don't see them losing to maybe one match out of the last eight, but if I'm being completely honest, this team, they score way too many goals. They have too many goal scorers. score a lot. They have a lot of guys who can create. And yeah, I don't see Madrid, you know. I see this as, I mean, this is a whole different discussion, but in terms of teams as a whole and years as a whole, I think this is going to be a down year for Madrid. And to up to, you know, their standards and what they hold themselves to, I think this would be a huge down year for Madrid, but that's a whole different discussion. But yeah, I think Barcelona has it this year.
Yeah, three clean sweep. I think we all agree. Same points were made in my head when y'all were kind of saying what y'all were saying. And yeah, I think Barcelona just has it right now. Yamal, Rafinha, what those guys are doing. And then let's not act like Lewandowski still isn't one of the best goal scorers in the world right now. So I just feel like their offense has been clicking. What Hansi Flick has done with them, it's been a quick turnaround. Kind of like what Gabriel said, nobody really expected much of them this year, but they've clearly been one of the best teams in the league. So yeah, I just wanted to talk about those teams in Europe just because they, you know, those two leagues are coming down to the wire. But popping on over to the U.S., the NWSL, just wanted to talk about a few things, honestly. I was able to watch a few of the matches this weekend, but shout out Ashley Hatch. She's the striker for the Washington Spirit. Scored a brace, and she became she got in the top five of the all-time history of the NWSL scores. Currently with 56, she's currently still playing. So just want to give her a quick shout out. Washington Spirit won 2-0 this past weekend. They looked good playing against Bay FC. Was able to watch a little bit of that game. So just want to give her a quick shout out. But as far as the NWSL, it's starting to heat up. Were you able to watch any? I know, Gabriel, you had matches this weekend, but Salam, anything you wanted to highlight as far as the NWSL?
Yeah, definitely. I think, to your point, Washington Spirit look good. Obviously, Trinity Rodman is back, and I think that that's going to be a big, obviously help to them. And hopefully they can get Croy Bethune back too here soon, and then they can get back to being one of the top teams. I mean, they were in the final last year, so I think with everyone, for the most part, being back, and if Trinity can stay healthy and get back to the form that we know she can be, and I mean, they're going to be a problem, definitely. But yeah, man, Temwa scored again. So, you know, goal count, I think we're at four. So shout out to her. But I wanted to highlight Chimika Okochukwu. She wasted no time making her mark in the NWSL. She was 19 years old, made her debut from Nigeria, scored in about a minute of her getting on, a minute and 32 seconds to be exact. That goal served as the equalizer, but they inevitably ended up losing 2-1. But I think her debut and what she showed in the limited time that she was in speaks volume. And I think that the NWSL definitely has a star here. And if she can continue in the same form that, you know, we saw her in, I think that San Diego, you know, will start to ascend. But no, yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to Temwa. Shout out to Marta, you know, longevity. People are saying that this probably is going to be her last season.
You're saying that last year too, though.
No, it's probably her last one. There's a World Cup, though. There's a World Cup, you know.
Yeah, and that's what everybody, yeah. I hear you.
It's probably her last one. I ain't gonna
know. All I'm saying is we heard the same thing last year too, though.
Yeah. So she'll probably play. She'll definitely play like this season, obviously, and then she'll play in the World Cup, and then I think that she'll make. I think her hanging it up for Brazil, I feel like only makes sense. I remember when I first even heard about her, I was just thinking about like she kind of had like that Pele like aura about her in the sense of like,
for sure.
No disrespect, I didn't even know her club team. I just knew that she was Brazil's number 10. And like that's just when I associated her with or I just associated Brazil with her. Definitely a Brazilian icon. So yeah, shout out to her. You know, I would definitely suggest enjoy this, man, because, you know, this is definitely one of the best footballers of all time, definitely in the women's game. And I mean, in general, I think what she represents is immense. So shout out to her. Shout out to Orlando Pride. I mean, that team, I feel like we could talk about them every week, but
yeah,
they're shaping up. They look like the best team in the league so far.
Yeah, I also think Barca is like, she not only has she changed the women's game, you know, worldwide, right? Just with her international play with Brazil, but she's completely changed this league. And she's, I feel like, and maybe I could be wrong, but I feel like she isn't given, you know, her flowers and being a pioneer for the NWSL in a sense, over these past couple of years, you know, bring her expertise, her drive, her passion, her vision, and just having that in the NWSL, I think has seriously increased that league and kind of propelled it forward in a huge sense. So definitely want to give her flowers on that. You know, just amazing player, man. I'm gonna miss not seeing Marta during World Cups, during, you know, the regular season. Like, this is a player that, you know, we'll all miss. So yeah, man, shout out Marta.
Yeah, I think we talked about her last year too, you know, since Orlando Pride was in the finals and she was in the top five women's, you know, last five for MVP in the NWSL. And we kind of were talking about how we look at Messi and Ronaldo, but we have to hail Marta up there as well. And yeah, I think the NWSL should definitely honor her in some way once she's gone, but just still, again, her class and just her ability still at this age is just, it's just fun to watch. And I'm just a fan and happy to be here. And just want to end the NWSL because Salam, you were talking about, you know, San Diego, they have an early star in our young Nigerian sister who subbed on and got her first goal. Gabriel's talking about Marta, you know, a proven icon and star in the game. I want to shout out, you know, the pair of sisters over on Angel City FC, you know, Giselle and Alyssa Thompson, 19 and 20 years old, both starters for Angel City. Alyssa's a winger. She can play on the right or the left. She's the one that got the goal. Giselle, 19 years old, starting as a right back for them. They're cold, man. They're super, super dope. Was able to see a little bit of the game and then obviously watch highlights as well. But they play for the U.S. national team. At least Alyssa does. She's got, I believe, about 10 caps, something like that, as a 20-year-old, which is amazing. Little sister has been on the U-17, U-20 call-ups. These are going to be some new stars for years to come. I think they're going to be on the U.S. team very, very soon as well. There's going to be competition on that U.S. women's national team, especially up front, man. There's going to be a lot of competition. I know a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the men's team, kind of how they got to figure it out. This women's team is going to be crazy. And, you know, especially with the manager that they have over there with Emma Hayes, it's going to be fun. You know, you guys were speaking about the Women's World Cup coming up. But, yeah, just wanted to speak about them as well because they showed me something today. They definitely got something over there in Angel City. But, yeah, man. Oh, dude, I don't know if you wanted to say something, but.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think that it's an incredible achievement for both of them and their family to play with your sibling. And I mean, you know, I feel like every opportunity where I think, cause she plays as a right back and then, you know, there's Alyssa Thompson. Oh yeah. Alyssa Thompson.
Yeah.
She kind of goes back and forth, but you know, both of them on the same side. Like that's a really good feeling. I feel like for their parents, definitely.
For sure.
That's really cool. So shout out to them, man. And
all the chemistry in the world.
Yeah,
bro. If they're on the same side, bro, you don't have to worry about a thing.
Crazy. Yeah. The right back, she's probably never like, oh yeah, I'm about to get on this overlapping run. For sure.
Like, you gonna pass crazy. It's crazy because like they could really switch and like stay switch for a bit. You know, like they could really switch and then be like, all right, let me just play winger for 5 minutes real quick and then just switch back if they really needed to, you know. Just out in the flow of the match. So, you know, it's super dope to I always like seeing, you know, siblings in the league. And it doesn't matter what league it is, I don't really care. You know, just family members in general in the same league. Competing, I think, is really dope. So dope to see that on their side, and they'll have a lot of years to come with them playing as well. You know, so it'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure these girls have been playing together literally their whole lives. It's nothing for little sister to play up a year. You know, I mean, clearly she's been able to do it, and it's, you know, right back, younger sister, 3 games so far, 1 assist. Big sister, winger, 3 games, 2 goals. So it seems like they got it going on over there in Angel, at, you know, Angel City. So just wanted to shout them out.
There's a lot of competition for for the international team, man.
But I like that, man. I like that because I feel like for the women, you already just knew for the past, 10 years, 12 years. Like, we knew what the lineup was going to be. We knew who the starters were. We knew maybe this person might get in the mix, that person might get in the mix. But, you know, that last World Cup was kind of the old regime's, you know, last World Cup, and this is a start of a new era. And I feel like that was kind of a little bit of the disconnect for them last World Cup. And I feel like now it's just a slew of younger players trying to prove themselves, trying to protect the badge as older players have protected the badge before them. And it's going to be, I think we're going to see it'll have its trials and tribulations, but I think this U.S. women's national team, when it comes together, I think they're going to come together just like the previous regime. I think this regime will be here for the next 12 years. Strong. Right. Like, strong.
And to your point, bro, go ahead.
And no, I was just saying, I'm super excited. I'm so excited to see this team because, you know, we talk about it with the men's team, and, you know, of course we want the men's team to progress as how the women's team has. But, you know, we haven't seen too many times where, especially, you know, a country where they'll move out such a talented group of players, and behind them they have just a as good as a talented group of players coming right behind them. Like, we haven't really seen that. If I'm being honest, I haven't seen that on the men's side or the women's side. If I'm being completely honest, from older
maybe France.
You can say France. Maybe you can say Spain.
Spain, there's a little gap, like that whole Pedri, it's a little, like the Marattas, even after them, you know, like that. There was that little gap for sure, but
yeah, there's a little gap. But I feel like this U.S. women's national team, I feel like they have the perfect combination of players that were trying to break into, you know, the first team with the old group, and, you know, have that experience, but then also a slew of very, very talented young players right behind them, and then that group is going to lead. And I don't know, man. They have a special team, so. I'm super excited to see, you know, first and foremost, who Emma Hayes calls up, because I think that'll be very interesting in and of itself, and who she calls up for trials and, qualifying matches and things of that sort. But then also just to see, you know, what that lineup looks like come World Cup time, it'll be interesting. So, yeah.
No, and then to your point, bro, I think what's interesting to me is I thought about this when you were saying that, like, I thought the last, like, I guess, generation of players, like, you had, you know, like, the Alex Morgans and the
Rapinos.
Yeah, Rapinos, Crystal Dunn.
Christian Press.
Christian Press, Tobin Heath. They were all, I mean, still, a lot of them, obviously, could probably, because definitely still contribute now. But I'm saying, like, this group, I feel like, was younger than that group when they got together.
Oh, for sure. 1920, yeah, like, Alex Morgan wasn't – was she – I don't think she was ball first was, team. Or,
yeah.
She was
like, balling. Alex Morgan, Alex Morgan was, like, breaking on early, but she still had to, like,
get Abby in. Wambach was still there.
Wambach was still there, yeah.
So it was, like, hard, but it's, like, with this generation, you have people that are in their primes now. You still have, like, Roosevelt. You still have Naomi Girma. You still have – I mean, Crystal Dunst was still playing, but it's like, I guess she, her – you still have these players that are still in their prime now. Lauren Heaps now, formerly mm-hmm. Lauren – Lindsey Horan. I'm sorry, Lauren Heaps. Lindsey Horan. She's now Lindsey Heaps. But, like – now you have, like you said, both Thompson twins, Alyssa and Giselle. You have Jaden Shaw, who's 20. You have Corey Bethune, Lily Yohannes, and all the people that I named are all under 20. And it's like
the Thompson sisters.
Yeah, but you still have Trinity Rodman. You still have Sophia Wilson now. You know, and then you have
just call it Triple Espresso. Just call it Triple Espresso.
And like they're still like
they got Midge. You still got Midge coming up. Midge bro, is still there. They got some ballers, fam.
So yeah. So I mean, there. I feel like we, as you know, the U.S. we're in a very, in a very good spot with them.
Kat Mercario.
Yeah, I mean, you have someone like her, like coming off of an injury, she has something to prove. So it's kind of like
you feel me.
The competition.
She's scoring over at Chelsea, bro. She came off that injuries,
bagging goals. Yeah. She's playing well, but it's just like you know, you have this plethora of talent, where you have, you know, as a veteran, you know that like there are younger players coming into the mix, but the veteran players are the ones that are probably making the most contributions. So mm-hmm. it's a good position to be in for Emma Hayes, and I feel like she's. What she's going to do best is, like, kind of cultivate the atmosphere and, like, the environment. Mm-hmm. That's, like, one thing that she's really good at, aside from her being a brilliant manager.
And I think that'll play a huge part. Also, cultivating the vibes that, like, we're speaking about with the English team and just with, you know, other teams with Tuchel, right, how him calling up a different profiles of players that we're not used to seeing for, you know, these national teams creates a different vibe, creates a different atmosphere when you're in the when you're playing with your national team. And I think, you know, for the past couple of years, if I'm not mistaken, or for the past couple of managers for the U.S. women's national team, they have been American, right?
My research. The last one was Vlatko. He's actually the coach of Kansas City current now. He's from his name is like his last name was like Vlatko something. So like he's not American. And then I think before that, I can't remember who the coach was before that, but.
Okay. Well, just to my point, kind of speaking to that, you know, I think what adds to the U.S. women's national team's success is that they don't have someone from America choosing the team. And they haven't had someone from America choosing the team. Like we were talking about England, right? Tuchel, he's German. He does not care about English media. He doesn't care about, my son. And he does not care about any of the nepotism team. He's, listen, I want to win matches. I'm going to bring up the best 20-plus players to win matches. The U.S. women's national team, I think us not having an American manager is amazing for us because you get that. Listen, I don't care about American media. I don't care about, you're doing this here. I'm going to pick the best 20-plus players to play for this team and perform, and I'm going to cultivate a certain atmosphere that I want for this team. And I feel like that has really played into their favor over the past, you know, couple campaigns. So just want to highlight that for sure.
Yeah, and just to you know, add some more information. So for the women's national team, their last few managers before Emma Hayes, there was Twila Kilgore, who was American, but she was appointed right after Vlatko left. Vlatko, as Salam was talking about earlier, is from former Yugoslavia. Before him, from 2014 to 2019, who was really the bulk of the manager, who was the manager during the bulk of when the women's national team was getting their notoriety and winning a lot of these tournaments and championships, was Jill Ellis. But again, she was also English. Yes. So yeah, so a lot of these managers, like you said, have been foreign making these calls.
And guess what? When we had the one American manager, what did they do?
It was from 2023 to 2024. Not too much.
Exactly. That's my point. I think for these countries, I know I don't want to say for every country. You know, some countries you find the manager and they're, you know, for like Deschamps, right? Deschamps is French. He manages the French national team. He's the right guy for the job. No question about that. But I think for a lot of other countries, especially when the media is as strong, I don't hear much about French media all like that. And maybe I just could be ignorant to it. But
he also played for them too.
He has pedigree.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's, he won a World Cup. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even if he didn't, though, right? Like, I think American media and English media is so strong that the opinion of others changes the opinion of the manager, bringing them, you know, bringing certain players or doing certain things, making certain decisions. And I feel like, you know, for countries with media like that, I think it's highly beneficial to get someone to have that bird's eye view, to be unbiased and be, this person actually doesn't fit. You know, this person actually would fit better, and to kind of go against the grain a little bit. So,
yeah, no, I agree. You know, just to end it on the NWSL and women's, we always know that football can be a little political. So it is nice to have someone that, you know, is a little bit more fresh to the situation to look and assess and be the one that's the leader of the ship. But like we all said, women's football, especially in America, is in a great place. And season's just started, man. So I can't wait for, you know, the summer to heat up a little bit, for these temperatures to start getting a little bit warmer. We'll start seeing some goals galore, I'm sure. But to move it over to the MLS, I know Mike isn't here, but 6 points for our Ohio team. So clap it up for the boys. Both Cincinnati and the Columbus Crew were able to get 2-1 wins this weekend. Not sure if, you know, you guys were able to watch the Crew play, but a brace for Rossi, man. I wanted to get Mike's take on this because he had a great match. Very, very good match. He's been taking over. Obviously, we knew with the additions and the subtractions for the Crew this past summer that somebody needed to step up. Rossi being the more tenured player, honestly, he stepped up a lot this year, you know, in all facets, just being their guy. Obviously, Nagby is their center mid, the one that controls the midfield and the pace of the game. But Rossi's really been the one that's been able to score. Obviously, Russell Rowe's been doing his thing too, but just wanted to shout out Rossi because he has taken a little bit of that onus on him to say, hey, I no more Cucho. Obviously, we need someone to score goals. So shout out Rossi. Shout out the Columbus Crew on that 2-1 win. Had to come from behind to do that as well. But Salam, your boys got back into winning ways. 2-1 win this weekend. Officially double-digit points. But the East is tough, man, especially with Inter Miami. You know, we'll talk about them a little bit later, but 10 points isn't getting you much in the Eastern Conference table right now. I think you boys sit fifth or sixth on the table. But 3 points is 3 points, and definitely getting back to winning ways. Evander with a free kick. To your boy is scoring, you know, and then Kevin Denke with a pen. So two set pieces, two goals, but you boys are back on the right side of things. So your match takeaways.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was a huge 3 points, especially away from home. Nashville to start the season has been one of the I would say brighter storylines in the MLS so far. Definitely in the Eastern Conference. So for us to go there and get 3 points is huge, especially considering the start that we've had to the MLS season. So Evander obviously showed his class again, another free kick goal. You know, one thing that I'm really appreciative about him, I think something that he gives us that Acosta didn't, is a consistent threat from set pieces. I think we're going to score goals. I think when it clicks between him and Denki, I think we'll score goals. But, you know, we always have like a threat now. You know, if we get fouled in and around the box, I mean, he wasn't even that close to goal. And I mean, I'm not even going to lie to you. I didn't really like the run-up. When I saw the run-up to the free kick, I was like, I don't know, man. And then, sure enough, upper 90. I mean, yeah. The keeper had no chance. So, shout out to him. And then, for me, the player of the game, man, I think Celentano. Matt came up clutch in the penalty save. You know, Hany Mukhtar is one of the best players in the MLS. He hasn't scored against
us. Easy.
Hasn't scored against Cincinnati. So for him to stop, you know, the penalty save was massive for him. And then for him to have, I think, like the next 60 seconds afterwards, he made like three saves, like right after the penalty save. So shout out to him, man. You know, all bias aside, like, I think he's one of the best keepers that we have in the United States. I think that for sure, like, he should be getting looks over some of the guys that are, you know, on the team now. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to Matt Turner, but, you know, this guy, Celentano, is actually playing consistently. For a few years now, Cincinnati has been pretty competitive in the MLS, definitely in the Eastern Conference, and he's been a mainstay, 100%. So I think – I don't see why he's not getting any national team looks. I think it's crazy. I think Schultz from the Columbus Crew is a great keeper. He deserves to go. Mm-hmm. But for me, the best keepers in America right now are Stefan, Schultz, and Celentano. So shout out to him. Chemistry.
I just want to say Brad Super's in there for me.
I was going to say another cliche, another man of the match.
I will stand on this, and this is not even like, I know I'm repping Cleveland State. This is like so inadvertent right now. It looks like it's planned, I swear.
It's not planned at all.
Bro, what you know.
But I will say this. Since Brad Stewart's been in the MLS, he has locked his spot down on any club he's been at. Hands down. He's been one of the best MLS keepers in his tenure, in my opinion, by far, his resume is great. Now, his teams haven't always done the best, but these past couple years, especially with Austin FC, he has been amazing by far. And I think right now we should be putting him up there with the Stephens of the MLS. If you ask me if Brad Super is better than Matt Turner, I'm saying yes. I'm just been keeping the whole stack. This guy he's proven himself time and time again. And like you just said, another clean sheet, another dub, you know, they're getting it done down there. So
shout out to him. I think Austin is definitely like, they've had a slow start to the season. You know, they spent a lot too in the summer, but I think you're right. I think, you know, Stuver's definitely been one of the most consistent keepers. And I feel like that's what really, you know, sets you apart.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. And like I said, man, he don't get scored on a lot, you know. Does not get scored on a lot. A lot of these matches, I don't think they've gotten scored on like, what, two goals in a match yet, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah, they've only had 1-0 matches when they've lost. 1-0. 1-0 here, 1-0 there. You know, and I know this has a lot to do with their defensively, they're also pretty good as well. But I don't want to take anything away from the keeper too, you know. Yeah. Some very, very good results. So
yeah, I just wanted to shout them out. I know that, you know, Gabriel's talked about them in one of his recaps, but Austin, as being an expansion team, you know, they had a slow start, but I think this year is starting to finally click for them. You know, they only scored 5 goals, but they've only conceded 3. And if you look at them through 6 matches, you know, they have 12 points. Currently, if you look at the Western Conference, they're sitting in second place. You know, earlier we talked about how the Western Conference was going to be a battleground. We talked about the LA teams. We talked about, you know, some of these teams in the past, Portland, who probably should be a little bit better than where they sit right now. But you look at the top team, Vancouver, with 13 points, Austin with 12 points, San Diego, expansion team, with 11 points, sitting in third. It's not who we expected to be sitting on top of the Western Conference right now. And again, I know it's still super duper early, but when you just look at how these teams are starting, you know, it's not really about how you start, it's about how you finish, but it is about how you start in these leagues, because you have to build consistency and you have to build good habits. So I'm looking at San Diego right now. You know, they had a very, very big weekend, you know, very, very big win. Just wanted to highlight that game a little bit. Not sure if you were able to watch that, but we talked about the San Diego team, how they're going to be as an expansion team. You know, they had a few ups and downs. At home, they looked decent, but we were talking about, okay, what's this team going to look like when they go to some of these away matches? San Diego, you know, I talked about earlier this year, I'm going to be paying special attention to these LA matchups, LAFC, LA Galaxy, San Diego. They're stepping into this league and they're stepping into this California state saying, hey, there's a new team around. So I don't know if you guys have anything to say about San Diego, but they're showing me signs. I like it.
If I'm being completely honest, San Diego is always – it's just a football city, just simple as that. That city is perfect weather year-round. All they do is play football, you know. So I expect them to be solid 100%. I don't want to, you know, like, change the topic of the conversation, but I just wanted to go back to LA Galaxy, man, because you're talking about the LA teams, and that's when you start talking about LA teams, my mind went straight to LA Galaxy, man. Because we've talked about them, you know, over the past couple of weeks, and they just cannot find results, bro. Mm-mm. And it's like, it's really shocking to me, because this team is a lot better than what they are on paper currently, you know, right now. And I know, you know, LAFC, they took their L this weekend to San Diego. LA took their L to Orlando. But I don't know, man. I don't want to say these LA teams just this early, but LA Galaxy is definitely a team I'm looking at. Like, is this a blip or are y'all really like this? And it's getting to that point now where I'm like, you guys may just be like this right now. Yeah. It's crazy to see. It's really crazy to see, because this is like LA Galaxy's like MLS heritage. You know, if we talk about if we're talking about a big six club in the MLS, we're not going to go name them, but LA Galaxy would definitely be in that big six of clubs in the MLS. Mm-hmm. And to see, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah. So it's like to see them at this state right now.
After winning the title.
It's shocking, bro. Shocking. It's almost. I don't even want to compare it to that. But it's just. It's very, very shocking to see, the results and how they've come out this season so far. And like you said, Neil, they're reigning champs. They should pick it back up. But I don't know if this is just a blip or not, because these results are not only away but also at home, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unacceptable on so many fronts. But, yeah, I just want to bring that up. You talking about LA teams?
No, that's a good point. I think, it is what it is with them. I think it's really weird that this is happening and they're struggling, you know, this much, like right after that they won the MLS Cup. But, you know, sometimes, especially in football, it's just, you know, when you're going through a rough patch, it's just like, man, you get dragged through it. But yeah. As far as San Diego goes, man, I think every game that they're at home, I think that they're going to be solid in. I think they're going to be competitive at home. I think the vibes at home are
top tier.
Crazy. You know, they don't look like an expansion team. They look like, you know, you should have gave us this team years ago. And honestly, kind of, it was like when FCC came into the league, I would probably say the third year at home, like we weren't dropping games, especially in, what was that, 2022, 2023, you know, when we won the Supporters Shield, like we weren't dropping games at home. And I feel like that's the same vibes that you're going to get in San Diego, but especially with Lozano coming back, now that he's back, you know, him, I mean, we can transition into to Charlotte and Zaha, because I feel like those two haven't really, you know, took off yet and really showed us their pedigree as players. But Charlotte, man, you know, we were talking about last week. I mean, they crushed us 4-1. And then, you know, we're talking about how, like, the, you know, this is another team in the East. And then you lose to Colorado, which, and to be fair, has been another bright storyline to start the summer season. So, with I know they dropped their last game, but you know they didn't have Zach Steffen there. You know, he's back into the picture, and they get a clean sheet, and, like, you know, really just speaks to the impact that he has as a player. And yeah, man, I like Colorado. Big fan of Colorado, but Charlotte, man. That's tough.
I think it's just one of those teams, you know, they have to figure it out. They're balancing on top of being, you know, an expansion team. I feel like they're balancing a lot of things right now. I don't want to say they haven't found their 11. I think they have their 11. I think they're just trying to find their groove. I feel like the starting 11 hasn't found their groove yet. Because I feel like this front three, their front three is just lethal. I feel like if is it BL on the right hand side, I think, for Charlotte.
Zaha on the left,
Ajime in the middle. Like, that front three is lethal, bro. Lethal. And if you get them firing, easily, I think this team is one of the best teams. But I just feel like they just haven't gelled yet as a unit, and I feel like that's where some of that disconnect is coming. Especially when you get a big personality in the dressing room and something like that. You know, things are bound to change. But I think, you know, come you know, end of April, early May, I think this team will be firing. I think this team will be in full swing of things and be looking good. But I think it just speaks to the MLS, man. The league is, yes, we have these guys who are, you know, these teams who, yes, we expect them to do well, but I feel like anyone can get touched. I think LA Galaxy is a prime example of that. They won the league last year, and they're one of the worst teams in the league currently. Not, you know, this is on paper. Currently, statistically, they're one of the worst teams, which is, it's just, you know, it's very, very shocking. So I think, you know, the landscape of the league and the teams in the league are getting better, and you got to keep up with the times. You have to be on it every night. If you're not on it every night, you will get caught up. You will get caught slipping.
You know, it's funny you say that, because as soon as you said that, you know who I thought of was, I don't know if you guys watched New York, NYCFC versus Atlanta, but NYCFC goes up.
Galore.
3-1, man. And bro, I stopped watching it because, you know, all the games are going on at the same time. So I switched it over to Cincy, and then I look at the final score and I was like, 4-3 Atlanta. Wow.
So I gotta go back and watch these highlights right now.
Yeah, bro, they did it in a span of like 25 minutes. So you know, just capitalizing off mistakes. I think it sucks, man, because the goal that put them up or they're still down, but the second goal that they scored was an own goal.
Yeah
and then you look at the fourth goal, ultimately the goal that, you know, gave up the lead, and it's just kind of like terrible miscommunication, man. And then like the body language obviously is, you know, not great.
After that, you're cooked.
Yeah. Because yeah. I mean, clearly, like, yeah, the center back.
You can feel the momentum shift after the own goal though, because it's like,
yeah.
Oh wait, what, because, bro? Like they're coming back.
What do we always say, bro? What do we always say? And I know it was 3-1, but 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in football, bro. It's the most dangerous lead. I know it wasn't 2-0, it was 3-1. But as soon as especially if
the illusion that you're up by exactly a margin, that's too much.
And especially like you get an own goal scored, and that's how they score the second goal. And now this team is in it, and they're like, oh, we got an awful fluke. Oh yeah, let's run it. Like, oh yeah, let's run it up. Like it's just
because we know he's the lick. Right, he, yeah. Head is gone.
Head is gone. The whole team's head is gone. And Atlanta was at home, no?
Yeah, Atlanta was at home, so they had to
like, come on. Yeah, come on. Once it's wrap after that, then you're at home. Yeah, nah, man. It's looking dim from there. So
Almiron got his goal, finally, you know, got his little header.
And that was and
Latte with the, you know.
Right. Almiron's goal was the goal that put them at 3-3, which that was a good goal. So like if you get gifted the own goal to put you at 3-2, and then you score that goal, it's like, wow, we're here 3-3.
And then the person who scored it too, homecoming, you know, he loves Atlanta. Atlanta loves him. It makes the crowd go even crazier that he scores a third goal. He's almost like given.
It was great, man. And then lastly, man, Miami. You know what's crazy about this Messi guy?
They're back up in first place, huh?
They never were gone. It's amazing how they beat Philly again, another team that we were talking about. I mean, they've had a great start to the season. I said that they were. I think in one of my week two, I said that they look like the best team. But, yeah, bro, Messi came on, scored immediately.
Literally immediately.
Right
foot. Yeah, two. Man. Yeah, right foot, too. And if you watch the goal, I'm actually watching the goal right now. Like, the defender, he doesn't want him to cut in on his left. So he cheats so much, and then he's just kind of like, all right, cool. Like, he rolled the ball to his right foot and then just struck it.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, it hit side netting, like far post. And it's like, wow, bro.
It's unguardable, man.
Sometimes I still can't believe that he's like in our league and like, well, we have Messi. It's really a treat. Like, you know, if you're a casual soccer fan and if this is the first time that you're seeing Messi, like just know and understand when he was in Europe, like he was probably the best player of his, definitely the best player of his generation, I would say. It's a pretty nice to watch him.
It's almost like, you know, I don't want to take for granted Messi and the MLS, like how I took like Beckham for granted in the MLS.
Yeah.
Right.
Like it's to that stature now. For me, it's like, dang, now it's not even just Messi. You know, we have so many guys from Europe that we've watched at their peak, you know, in the MLS, and don't take it for granted, like at all. Being able to, you know, be able to see them play live now, and the opportunity to see them play live, you know, from watching them on TV from the time when I was 3 years old until now, it's just can't take it for granted, man, at all. Can't take it for granted. But yeah, Messi, he's unguardable, bro. Especially in the MLS. And I'm not trying to like diminish the MLS at all, but come on, this guy was going against Puyol and you know, he's going against Sergio Ramos's, and you can't give him anything, bro. You give Messi an inch, he's gonna take a mop. Just that simple. And as much as we like to say, oh, Messi doesn't like to his right foot and that's on the third, bro, it is Messi. His right foot works. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like,
right foot, he has probably the best right foot in the league.
So it's like, you know, you have to respect it, and you just have to accept what what happens at a certain point. You know, you can deter him off his game as much as you possibly can, but at a certain point, you know, class is class. So crazy.
Yeah, I know we talked about this a little bit ago, but a lot of these goalies, man, a lot of these keepers, it's been interesting to watch, because I wrote it in my notes here, because when I was, you know, just recapping myself with these highlights and watching some of these games and how some of these goals were scored, it was very blaring to me that a lot of these goalkeepers, the level has dropped. Specifically, you know, Orlando game, the Muriel free kick from 40 years out, keeper goes on, looks like he wanted to volleyball hand it up, and it goes into the goal. You know, that ends up being a 2-1 win for Orlando. You know, that ends up being a 2-1 win for Orlando. LAFC, when I was looking at that, you know, that match, they're terrible at set pieces. First goal off of a set piece. Second goal, Lloris comes in, makes a blunder. They score their second, you know?
Yeah, he had it.
You know, when you look at the Columbus game. Nothing new with him. Yeah, when you look at the Columbus game, 2-1 at Columbus, and we said shout out to them. But that goal was off, you know, that DC United keeper. That second goal was it was savable. It was very savable. So I just wanted to say, you know, is there – I don't know if it's American soccer or if it's just football in general, but is there a lack of goalkeeping training just like growing up? You know, Salam, you did coach, you know, I'm coaching now. Is there just something that we're missing right now? Because it seems like the keepers have dropped a whole level worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, I think those incidents were isolated incidents, because when you look like Hugo Lloris, for example, right? Like he came from Europe, whatever. He made a mistake, and it's like, to be fair, we've seen Hugo Lloris make a few mistakes, right? Playing for Tottenham. I didn't see like the other moments. I did watch the DC United and the Crew game, but do I think that there's a lack of talent? I mean, I would say no, because for every mistake we see here, we see a Brad Stuver, we see a Roman Celentano. So, and it's hard as an American, especially when you look at the National League team and you look at, you know, we had Tim Howard for so long, someone of that standard. Like, yeah, I mean, none of these guys are Tim Howard, you know, part the best keeper that we've had ever. But, you know, I think those are isolated incidents, because I said this earlier, you know, you look at the impact someone like Zach Steffen has on his team, for him to be missing for one game and then for you to come back the next game and we keep a clean sheet. I think it's like, you know, speaks to like what we have. And to be very honest with you, you know, no disrespect to any of the players on the field, I think that, you know, the goalkeeper position, and I feel like, is what we have the most to offer. Like, we have more goalkeepers, I feel like, than anything else, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
We are far in between of, like, these attackers, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, maybe at striker you could say, okay, well, you know, there's a few options there, but I could say there's probably, like, three or four American keepers that I'd feel confident, you know, representing the national team.
Respect. Just wanted to throw it out there, see how y'all felt about that. But yeah, man, Premier League, we said, is officially back. Midweek matches here on Tuesday and Wednesday, as well as matches over the weekend. So let's just get into some predictions here. Start with Arsenal, man. Who do y'all see?
We see Fulham at home, 3 points. It will be Smith Rowe. You know what to do. Yeah, I don't really expect anything surprising outside of Bukayo Saka is back. I don't expect him to start. If he starts, I'll be pissed. But I definitely expect to see him. get some minutes, whether it's 10, 15, 20, you know, it's cool with me, but definitely expect to see him get some minutes this or tomorrow. And then also we see Everton over the weekend away on Saturday. I expect him to actually start that match, not finish it, but I expect him to start that match in lieu of getting ready for Real Madrid next week in the Champions League. So, yeah, I expect 6 points this week. Fulham, 2-0 clean sheet. Everton, 3-0 clean sheet. Get out of there. Go see Madrid midweek.
Salam, how about you? Who does Manchester United see this upcoming week?
So tomorrow we play Nottingham Forest. I mean, for me, like I said a few weeks ago, I feel like all these games are pointless for me. I have to do my job. I'm going to go ahead and tell you to take the under.
That's a fact.
So, yes. I think I saw it at 2.5. If it's at 3, hammer it.
If you guys want a preview on my lock of the week, spoiler, under 3.5 is slapping. Oh my!
Yeah. But the odds on 3.5 are probably crazy. I saw it at 2.5, and it was like -125. But no, I mean. Yeah, I mean, we see Man City on. We see Man City on Sunday. So it's interesting though. With United, I really don't know like where we are as a team in terms of like maybe not where we are as a team, but like what players do we have available back? I don't know. I know when we left, we had a lot of question marks and a lot of guys. You know, we're back into training, and I'm still hearing that a lot of these guys that were out are still out. So,
what's going on with Luke Shaw?
I don't know.
Apparently, he's back.
He's back.
I thought so.
He's not. You didn't read what I sent then. He said he's not ready.
No, I didn't see that.
Not ready. He said we're building Luke Shaw.
Okay.
Building him.
So he okay. I get it.
Okay.
Legos, so yeah, shout out to him. He needs to get on like LinkedIn or something. I don't know, bro.
Tell him I can get him that premium if you need it.
Yeah, continue.
This one's free.
I got the plug.
Continue to collect the check. Shout out to you. I guess I didn't really give a prediction. I guess Nottingham Forest. I say we lose that game. I think we'll lose that game.
Thank you for being realistic.
And then I actually think the City game, I think we'll be up for it. We're always up for the big game. I think I'm going to go for a draw that game. No Haaland. No problem.
That's crazy.
Marmoush is there. So
please rephrase that.
He'll be a problem.
Marmoush, more problems. So Thursday we see Tottenham. That game will be played at Stamford Bridge. If you want a preview of my lock, I said Chelsea money line. Just go ahead and hammer it. This needs to be a win. It's a London derby. It's always bad blood with Spurs, but usually we come out on top. We're also at home, so we definitely need to protect the bridge. So I see 3 points there. I'm not sure what Cole Palmer is going to look like, to be honest. That's going to be my biggest question mark. Obviously, he's going to get the start, but I'm not sure if he'll get a goal or an assist, but I think he'll have a decent match. And then we see Brentford on Sunday. That's going to be the tough one. Honestly, I see that being a draw.
Home or away?
We're at Brentford.
Oh, yeah, y'all taking it now.
On Sunday. I honestly see that being a draw. 1-1, because I believe Brentford's going to score. They always give us trouble. They always give us issues. They always score against us. But I think we'll have enough I think we'll have enough to find a goal somewhere. I think it'll come off a set piece, maybe a corner, some unexpected. But I see 1-1 draw, so 4 points on the week.
Okay. All right.
Quickly though, before we get into shout outs, I wanted to ask you guys, this is the last international break before the season is over.
Thank God.
What would you like to see from your teams from now to the end of the season?
I want top four. That's it.
That's a great question. What do I expect to see from my team for the rest of the season?
Expand on that, though, Cornelius. What do you mean, like, top four? So, like what?
So, I at the top of the year, we all gave our predictions. I said I thought that Chelsea was in a spot where we would potentially be around fifth place. And I still strongly think that. But based on where we are in the season right now, we currently sit fifth. We're currently, you know, behind we're in front of a struggling team, and we're behind teams that we I think that we can catch. So it's so for me, it's yeah, we haven't looked the greatest. We haven't looked the best, especially in this 2025. 2024, you know, we were top four. We were cruising. We looked great. I think since January, the end of January, we started to see some more injury troubles. Cole Palmer hasn't been who we've seen him to be in the past. So we've had some issue scoring, and obviously our issue this whole year has been leaking goals. So it's been a tough 2025, but we're still in a position where we can fight for a trophy in the Conference League. So I still think that I still think that Maresca is getting these guys up for matches because he has to. Each week he has to make sure these guys are mentally ready to go play because we have a chance to go win a trophy. I think he mentally has to get these guys in the mindset that this is Chelsea Football Club. And when, you know, there are 8 matches left, we're getting into April, the weather's getting warmer, it's crunch time. Like, these are this is why you come to Chelsea Football Club, to fight for the badge, to be someone who strives for greatness, to be someone who is getting a trophy, but also making sure that they're taking care of business in the league. So that's why I want to see top four, bro. We're right there. Like, there's no reason why we shouldn't strive to get top four this year. I mean, there's what? There's Liverpool, there's Arsenal, there's Nottingham Forest, there's us, there's City, and then there's everyone behind us. So for me, it's like, go get it. Like, that's what I want to see for the end of the year. Just go get it.
That's fair. I don't want to say too much because I have more to say on this next episode. But for my team, what I want to see the most out of is, like I said, I think I've said this, but I think the league is dead. But I still want to see consistency in the league. I don't want to see us completely drop the ball. I want to see us to continue to put in, you know, good performances and good results. But obviously, I think our focus has shifted, and Champions League is at the forefront for us now. And I just want to see my team do extremely well in the Champions League. I expect us to put all of our eggs into the Champions League basket, especially with this very, very difficult draw coming up over 2 legs starting next week. And I think – I truly, truly think that this matchup against Madrid – and I have so much more to say next week, so please tune in next week. But I truly think that this matchup with Madrid will tell us exactly where we are as a club. I think it will tell us exactly what we need as a club and what we need to work on. And I think this is win or draw. Or win or lose, if we go through or if we don't go through. I think this is going to be an extremely telling draw for us. And I think this is probably, if I'm being completely honest, I think this is our biggest test in the Arteta era, if I'm being completely honest. I think this is his biggest test. And like I said, this will tell us exactly where we are, because if I don't see a team that's completely firing against Real Madrid, something's off, something's wrong, something's not right. I think, you know, I don't want to say too much, but this should be a very, very interesting. And I think it's personally, I think this is the best draw out of all the Champions League matches. I'm very excited to see, but just to answer your question, I think Champions League, we need to perform in that cup and just stay consistent in the league. Just keep chipping away. We never know what's going to happen. We never know who can draw points, who you know, what the table's going to look like come May. So just keep chipping away at the league. But Champions League is the main one right now.
Yeah, for me, from now until the end of the season, the biggest focus for us has to be Europa League. Winning Europa League, getting into the Champions League next season, getting the financial benefits that come with finishing in the – well, not that we're finishing in a Champions League spot, but, you know, just competing in the Champions League. The money you get there is really going to help us this summer. So, like I said, these Premier League games, like us playing Forest and City, who cares? We're not going to get relegated. We're probably not going to even get Conference League. So I would say just go all in, put all the chips in to get Europa League.
I feel that.
Fair enough.
Shout outs.
Yeah, man. I had a shout out, actually. Wanted to shout out Tani Oluwaseyi, striker for Minnesota over in the MLS. Two goals for club, and then he also scored for Canada against the U.S. to be funny in the third place game.
Right.
Over the international break. So I know he's on the top of the world. He's buzzing right now, especially over in Minnesota. That team didn't have the best start, had a little bit of a rocky start. So two goals for him. Brace, especially coming off the goal this past international break. I see what you're doing, young buck. Shout out you, man. Shout out you. You've had a great, past couple of weeks. So I just want to see, you continue to keep it up.
Yeah, he has 4 goals and 1 assist on the season. So 5 GA in 5 games. So shout out to him, man. You talk about one of the dark horses in the Western Conference. I think with him and Kelvin Yeboah, I think there won't be a shortage of goals there. You got any shout outs, Gabriel?
Shout outs for me. Honestly, no. No, shout out to Cleveland Crunch. Number one. Looking to get that title. 2 weeks. Outside of that, no shout outs for me this week. Oh, I actually do have one. Shout out Andrea Berta. The new Arsenal sporting director officially announced this past week, I believe. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit out of football news with the season, but he was announced within the past week. So pretty excited for him to get started. He's had a really, really good track record just looking back on, signings that he's had. And guys that he's brought onto clubs, especially Atletico Madrid, he brought a lot of guys on there. So looking forward, to what he does with Arsenal and the types of guys that we will potentially get. I've been seeing some rumors, been seeing some names that are exciting, but, come summer, we'll actually start to see things come to fruition. So he has a couple months to get ready, because I know we have a massive summer coming up. Massive, massive summer that they've already said that's going to be massive, and we're going to be spending big in this window. So very, very excited, very exciting stuff. So shout out to him. And yeah, that's all I got. Any crash outs? No crash outs?
You know what? It's funny you said crash outs. I'm actually going to spin this and turn it into a shout out, because my shout out was actually going to be the Tani Aloha Sai. But I actually wanted to shout out Peter Vermees, man. He was he and Sporting Kansas City mutually agreed to part ways. He's no longer going to be the coach. As far as I can think back, he's been the coach. He's been there since 09. I'm reading here. He was a sporting technical director in November of 2006, and then assumed the head coaching duties in 2009. Built a winning culture, orchestrated one of the greatest turnarounds in MLS history. In addition to hosting the 2013 MLS Cup and Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup titles in 2012, 2015, and 2017. He won all those years, so shout out to him, man. You know, you look at the start, the season that they've had this season, and it's not been great. But you know, I think this move was a move that needed to happen. Not because he's not a great coach, not because Sporting Kansas City is not a good team. I think that they've both showed that. Respectfully, like both of those are very good at what they do. I mean, Sporting Kansas City has an MLS Cup. There's a lot of teams who don't have MLS Cups, who have been around for a while. I'm not even really talking about the new expansion teams, but shout out to him, man. I'm very curious to see where he goes. I don't know if he's going to get into coaching. I see him being like a behind the scenes person.
Yeah, admin. Yeah,
going back to a sporting director type.
Front office, back office.
If he could do that for for the U.S. men's national team, or even forget like the international. Like, I feel like if you could go to a new club, like if you could go to a Austin or a San Diego, maybe not San Diego, because San Diego have kind of their own thing going on, but like, I guess Austin do too. But like, if you can kind of go into like a stable situation, I think. His expertise is like invaluable. So shout out to him, man.
You know, I agree with what you said. I mean, you talked about him turning around Kansas City. You know, if there are definitely some teams out there, like you said, who haven't gotten an MLS Cup, who've been in the league for years, clubs that have been at the top of the league and now are at the bottom that might need a turnaround. So there are clubs out there that could use his, that could definitely use his expertise.
But yeah, shout out to him. Good shout out. Let's get it to episodes. Shout out to Mike Golo.
Shout out Mike, man.
Shout out Mike, man. But yeah, man, we got some good stuff coming at you guys. Got an interview dropping here in a few weeks for you as well. So, and potentially could be doing stuff this summer. So we'll see. Until then, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Good luck to you and your future endeavors.